Maundy Thursday, March 27th, 1986. The preacher is Professor Gerald Eichmann. The theme of the comments, interspersed with the readings, is provisions for the way.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Provisions for the way. That's the theme of the comments which are interspersed with the readings today. These provisions are nothing other than the means of grace which God has provided for us during our lives on this earth. And we should always be careful not to slight any of them in our thinking or in our lives. Understandably, the readings for Maundy Thursday highlight the Lord's Supper, one of these means of grace. In fact, we are perhaps somewhat unusual among the worship gatherings of Christians upon this day of the church year to gather for worship and not include a celebration of the Lord's Supper. But the point of our readings is to highlight and emphasize for us that God indeed provides provisions for our way through this earth. And the same forgiveness of sins, the same life, the same salvation, which he provides for us through the Lord's Supper, he provides also for us through baptism and through his precious gospel. Therefore, we're mindful of all these means of grace as we consider provisions for the way. What is the way? The Old Testament reading helps us note that our way through this world, the way of which we are speaking, is a way which includes the frightful facts of sin and hopelessness, of destruction and death, of despair and doom. The reading itself is an outburst of grief occasioned by the tragic event of the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. It's from the second chapter of Lamentations.
The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have cast dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. The maidens of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. My eyes are spent with weeping, my soul is in tumult. My heart is poured out in grief because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because infants and babes faint in the streets of the city. They cry to their mothers, "Where is bread and wine?" As they faint like wounded men in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out on their mother's bosom. What can I say for you? To what compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What can I liken to you that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For vast as the sea is your ruin, who can restore you? Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not exposed your iniquity to restore your fortunes, but have seen for you oracles false and misleading. All who pass along the way clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city which was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth? All your enemies rail against you. They hiss, they gnash their teeth, they cry, "We have destroyed her." Ah, this is the day we longed for. Now we have it, we see it. The Lord has done what he purposed, has carried out his threat. As he ordained long ago, he is demolished without pity. He has made the enemy rejoice over you and exalted the might of your foes. Cry aloud to the Lord, O daughter of Zion. Let tears stream down like a torrent day and night. Give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite. This is the word of the Lord.
Whether it be Jerusalem's sin or ours, sin calls for God to demolish without pity. Thus it is that sin makes our way in this world a very literal dead and way. But God has stepped in to rescue us from sin and our dead end. He purposed from of old to take our place in the person of his Son, to suffer death and hell as our substitute, and then to raise himself in victory over our sinfulness and all that it deserves. And not only did he perfectly carry out that purpose and plan in Jesus of Nazareth and thereby save us all, but he also has provided for us provisions for our way in this world. He has supplied these sacraments and gospel, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, these provisions for the way, his spiritual provisions for our journey through this life. Even with his provision, however, there is no guarantee that we will deal with his means of grace in the way that is appropriate. The epistle helps us realize that in this world, we can so easily misunderstand and profane these provisions for the way. And so it urges us to examine ourselves and to remember that God seeks always to save us from condemnation with the world. It is from the 10th and 11th chapters of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians.
Therefore, my beloved, shun the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are chastened, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Finally, the gospel tells us how Jesus saw to it that his disciples made adequate preparations for the Passover, how he urgently and earnestly warned Judas, the betrayer, and how he then instituted his Holy Supper. It is from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark.
And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the householder, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were at table eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread in the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
As the celebration of the first Passover strengthened the Israelites for their journey out of Egypt, so the Lord's Supper is for New Testament believers today, food for the soul during the course of this world's existence. With baptism and the gospel, this supper gives to us the Christ-bought commendation and salvation in heaven. And thus, these means of grace are God's provisions for the way. Provisions for the way through this world, provisions which assure us of our face-to-face communion with God at the heavenly banquet of eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Yes.